right. Wasn't that something? We just shook hands. We haven't done that in a while. Okay, that didn't go over too well. You guys are used to shaking hands around here. Good. Hey, it's so great to be here. Thank you for your faithfulness. It's kind of odd saying a human telling another human, thank you for being faithful, like we've got any power of ourselves. But you are an encouragement to the person sitting next to you. When you're not in your place, the other person's wondering, what happened? Are they sick, or are they backslidden, or maybe they died? And so it's important that you're in your place. So God bless you. You encourage others by your presence here tonight. Would you find with me in your Bible the book of Exodus, chapter 19? Exodus, chapter 19. Thank you for loving my family, my girls that have been here, my son. And Ruthie is settled over there in Tennessee. She's looking at all the trees. She hadn't seen trees here very often. There's trees over there. There's green grass. No sprinklers, just green grass, you know. Boy, we had a warm day today, didn't we? Yeah? Anybody go outside and sit down and enjoy it? Boy, the church I was at this morning, over in Santa Ana, I guess is where it was, that air conditioning turned off. I mean, it turned off. I was standing up there, and you know, it was nice and cool and loud, you know, all shh, you know, it's going on, and we were all enjoying it. And the pastor, you know, was praising the Lord for the air con this morning. You know, it was already hot early, and it turned off, and it didn't come back on. People were running around trying to figure something out, and I said, it's all right. This is just like New Guinea. We're having a good time. You can take your jacket off anytime you'd like. You know, we all pretend with our jacket on, you know, we're not hot. We're not hot. But they ran around trying to figure out what's wrong. I think the government turned it off. You know, they don't want you spending money on that, using that 68 degree stuff. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. But thank you for loving my family. Thank you for caring for them. And while we've been over there in New Guinea, and I'm looking forward to getting on the way home on Wednesday. I should eventually make it home on Saturday. I'll get to New Guinea on Friday, start on Wednesday, get there on Friday, and hopefully get home on Saturday. And looking forward to that. Let's go ahead and read this scripture here. Exodus 19, line number 10. Line number 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, all right, let's see how we can do this. Now, who's talking here? The Lord said unto Moses, who's talking? I just want to make sure that we're in tune in this passage right here. We understand what's going on here. The Lord said unto Moses, so we can't just talk like Jason. We've got to do something different. Go out, go unto the people and sanctify them today. Does that sound like a good God voice there? All right, we'll just use that one, okay? Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people. And they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, say it with me, please. Be ready. Be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. Father, I need your help tonight. Lord, we need you every hour. And Lord, I know the feeling. Some people have come tonight because it's our routine to come. Some people have been singing tonight because it's our routine to sing. Lord, I haven't come in a routine way tonight. And I pray, Lord, that your spirit, as we just sang, would be with us, your presence. And help us, Lord, get ready. I know we're in September. We're getting ready to begin a new school year in college and in the grade school. But Lord, there's no better time than the present to be ready to meet you. Lord, help us come into your presence here tonight. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever been given the opportunity to meet someone famous? Yeah, have you? There's a young boy that met me tonight, and he said something like, can I give you my signature, or something like that. I know what he was trying to say, right? I want your signature. He said, can I give you my signature? I said, sure. And so I went down to sign his Bible and says, are you famous? I said, I'm world famous. I mean, people know me everywhere. I mean, they know me here in America. They know me in California. They know me in Arizona. Some people know me in New Mexico. They just keep going all over the place. Even over there in Australia, some people know me. And, oh, they know me in New Guinea. Yeah, I'm world famous. Everybody okay? I speak as a fool, as Paul would say, okay? Boasting a little bit. But you've met somebody famous. Did you come just normally? I'm at the airport a lot in New Guinea and here. But one time I was in New Guinea and I was in Port Moresby trying to fly back to our island, Daru. And I've made a habit of when I travel, I try to travel, presentable. Because you just never know who you're going to meet. There have been times when I met the governor of our province, and I've got I'm in work clothes, I'm greasy and dirty, and I don't know, to reach my hand out to shake your hand or bump you or hello from a distance. You know, it's kind of odd to meet someone very important when you don't feel ready. There's a fellow there, he's the postmaster on our island. It sounds big, but it's really small because we have no post office. But he's the postmaster. And he was just coming back from holiday, and he's at the airport, and he's just wearing like a tank top, and he's wearing shorts, and man, he's just flip flops on. He's at the airport, and not knowing that day we were going to have a canceled flight. And I was teasing him. I said, "Mate, you have no idea. I mean, look at you. You're not even ready. Did you know Queen Elizabeth was coming today?" just teasing him a little bit, and I said, "Man, you're not ready." He goes, "Oh, true." Next day, we had flight canceled. Next day, he comes, he was really dressed up nicely. You know, he wanted to be ready just in case anything might happen. Moses here is bringing the people to God. They've been in Egypt. They've been out in the world. They don't know who God is. They've seen God work. They've seen the 10 plagues take place. They've rushed out of Egypt and came, of course, to that body of water there, and then they got scared and frightened, but God did that miracle and opened up the water. They went across on the other side where they rejoiced at what God was doing. They're 3 months into this thing, and now God is telling Moses, you need to get the people ready to meet me. They don't know who I am. I'm going to give you a little bit of warning here. It could be a little bit dangerous because, you know, like some children, they don't know how to meet big people, as we say in New Guinea. They don't know how to meet big people. They don't know how to give proper respect. You know, some people, it seems like, don't know how to come to church either anymore, right? We're in California, wearing flip-flops and, you know, and all this stuff, and et cetera, et cetera. I'm just teasing, okay. But, you know, we don't know how to meet God anymore. We don't know how to meet big people anymore. Just everybody's, it's anybody, whoever you are, doesn't matter who you are. But Moses is given the task to make sure the people are ready to meet God. You know, it's not every day that they would meet God. This was going to be unusual. You know, at this point in history, Adam and Eve met with God. The Bible tells us Enoch walked with God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Abraham was known as the friend of God. Jacob had power with God. Moses, the Bible tells us, spoke with God face to face. This is unusual. This isn't normal stuff. God up to this point dwelt, as the scriptures tell us in Exodus chapter 20, in the thick darkness, away from people, away from man. God was himself, and man was himself. And they have to be made ready to meet God. Let me ask you tonight, are you ready to meet God? You might be thinking, wow, is it time to die? I mean, we normally say, prepare to meet thy God, you know, and it's time for death. But seriously, are you ready to meet God? Are you ready tonight? If God were to show up tonight, would you know that he was there? Do you know that he is here? Would you recognize his presence? We've had some guest speakers come from the U.S. over to our place to preach, and some of them are really excited, and they'll run around and jump up and down, even run around the building. And boy, I've heard some of our people say, wow, that was the power of God. And I feel so dirty when they say that, because that's not the power of God. The power of God is a changed life. That's the power of God. We see the power of God when your life gets transformed. Something just happened. Need not to be too concerned about the outside. Although I love a shout, I love running around, I love exciting preaching. But I'm telling you, we need to get ready to meet God. Are you ready tonight to meet God? In the book of Exodus, again, chapter 33, I can hear Moses agonizing. In line number 12, Exodus chapter 33, in line number 12, it says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight." I mean, Moses is still like, I don't understand. "Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way." Would you underline that statement right there? Show me now thy way. It just came back to my mind. Exodus, or what's this? Psalm chapter 25. "Show me thy ways. Lord, teach me thy paths." Let's look at that. Hold your place here and find Psalm 25. Oh, I always got a song to sing when I'm preaching. Forgive me. Psalm chapter 25. God's really helped me with scripture songs. I'm not great at memorizing, but if I can sing it, it'll stick. Psalm 25. Let's just do this together, shall we? I know we got a time to tick here, but let's see if we can smash everything in here. Psalm 25. You know this song? Verse number 1. Do you already know? "Unto thee, O Lord." How many know this song already? Raise your hand. All right, we'll try to do it, okay? The men, we're going to sing like men and get that bass going on, okay? If you're a man in the soprano department, just hold on. Okay, you wait for the ladies' turn. All right, here we go. All right, let's try it. "Unto thee, O Lord." That was the ladies' turn. "Unto thee, O Lord." That's your part. All right, let's see if we can go. "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul to, O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me." Verse 3, "Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over." One more, "Show me thy ways." Here we go, verse 4. "Show me thy ways. Show me thy..." Lord, let's try it again. "Lord, teach me thy paths." There we go. "Show me thy ways. Lord, teach me thy paths. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me." Moses is here. He's I don't know if the word frustrated is the right word, but he's deeply passionate about this. "God, I want to know you. I want to know that you're really with me. Lord, show me now thy way that I may know thee. I want to know that I'm in your presence. I want to know what that means. I want to be ready, and the people need to be ready. Lord, show me now thy ways." Would you say that tonight? Let's say it together. Ready, go. "Show me now thy way." One more time. "Show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Oh, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Moses wants to know the presence of God. Can I try to simplify that presence of God? God's presence is simply God being present. Is that simple enough? Don't get spooky about it. God's presence is simply God being present in your life. If you want God to be present in your life, You need to be present in his life. You know, the first area in which Moses deals with the people is on the physical side. Let me give you just 2 points tonight. Number one, something. Present yourself presentable to God physically. If you want to meet God, let me help you tonight how to meet God. Number one, something. Present yourself presentable to God physically. Tells us in our text in Exodus chapter 19 and line number 10, and the Lord said unto Moses, that's our statement there, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be what? Ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. It seems like it was going to take a little effort, a little time for God's people to be ready to meet God. It doesn't just happen. You know, many times we come to church because it's a habit. God bless you for coming tonight. You know, the world's got their other things that they're doing, and if you hang out with the world, you're going to hear their voice, and they're going to say, hey, why are you doing that? What a waste of time. It's hot anyway. Stay home. Don't go outside. You might burn up. But my friend, if we want to meet with God, we're going to have to present ourselves physically. Present ourselves presentable to God physically. And it's going to take some time. He says it's not going to just happen like that. Third day. It's going to take 3 days here. Sanctify yourself. You know, I think about Joseph, how he was going to get ready to meet Pharaoh. He was in the prison. He was not presentable. He was not in a fashion presentable to meet the Pharaoh. So the Bible tells us he shaved. Now, I didn't do that tonight, but he shaved. In other words, he tried to make himself presentable to see Pharaoh. He shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in. I just find a principle here. Hey, when you're going to meet someone special, take care of yourself. I mean, when you come to the house of God, hey, when you come, be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. I mean, come in with two ears and one mouth. Come in presentable. Don't let your kids just come any old how. You make it special at the house. Hey, we're going to the house of God. We're going to go hear the man of God, present the word of God, and we want to be ready to meet with God. We're not going to go haphazardly. I'm going to challenge you before you come. Hey, in this day, everything's getting lackadaisical. Everything's getting weak, and everybody's putting down those things that should be high. Hey, God's people, when we come to meet God, be ready physically to meet God. Joseph shaved to meet with Pharaoh. Jacob stood quiet before Pharaoh. You know, when he came, he didn't come blah, 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 blah. He came in a solemn way. He was a big man himself. He was a prince with God. But when he stood before Pharaoh, he didn't say anything until he was asked a question. How old are you? Oh, man, I'm 130 years old. Few and evil have been my days. Wow. Stood quiet. When you come to the house of God, the Bible says, be more ready to hear. I mean, when our kids come in, man, I'm sounding pastoral tonight, forgive me. But when you come to the house of God, hey, get your kids ready. This is special. Hey, pastor's there. There's a time for doodling. Doodle-doodle-doo. You know, there's a time for doodling. But there's a time when you just got to say, kids, we're not going to doodle anymore. You're past that time. We're here to meet with God. Because if we make little of God's house and God's man and God's word, those kids are going to make little of God. When we come, let's come ready to meet God. Boy, we see the example of Moses when he first really met with God out there on the backside of the desert. In Exodus chapter 3, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. The bush was not consumed. You know the story. And God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said unto him, here am I. Here am I. He said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is what? Holy ground. Hey, you're getting ready to meet God. You don't come any old how. Man, I'm telling you tonight, I left my shoes on to come up here. It's not something holy that's up here, but man, it's a mindset. We've come to meet God, and we need to come present ourselves physically. Presentable physically. Some of our preacher boys, pastor, they get into these like things, and I mean, they almost started making a doctrine at our church that you couldn't wear shoes on the platform. It was going that direction. And oh, mercy me. You know, that's Bible school students. They do things like that. We just have to get checked, right? And say, guys, we're not going to get sanctimonious here. We're not going to get religious here. We're going to come to meet with God here. Amen. Abraham made ready an offering when he thought the Lord was in his presence. Boy, he saw the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Abram hastened to the tent unto Sarah and said, get up. Make ready. Quickly. 3 measures of fine meal and knead it. Let's make pizza. No. Okay. Make cakes upon the hearth. I don't think those were chocolate cakes, okay? Maybe bread of some sort. And Abram ran unto the herd, and he got that calf, and he set it before them. He stood by them under the tree, and they did eat, and he just stood there. He was making himself presentable to God. I think about Gideon, how also he made ready an offering. He said, bring forth my present and set it before. Then he said, I will tarry until they'll come again. Verse 19 of Judges chapter 6 tells us that Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes and an ephah of flour and the flesh and put it in a basket, did all these type of things. Verse 21, the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock. He did something, made himself presentable. The Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and God called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is in Ophrah. Hey, when we come to meet God, get ready to meet God. When you come to meet God, come presentable physically. Come present yourself physically. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Come present your bodies a living sacrifice. The second area in which Moses deals with the people is on the spirit side. Present yourself presentable to God spiritually. Would you write that down? Present yourself presentable to God spiritually. Why did God allow Moses and Aaron to come close to him, but not the people? Remember in our text how God warned Moses, you don't let them come, don't even let them touch it, not even animal, lest they die and they get thrust through and all that. Why did God do that? Because they were not ready spiritually to meet God. Are you ready tonight? You know, sometimes I come, I'm not ready. I've been rushing all day. Come in, I'm in my place. But my heart is not ready. That's why Pastor has the music going. We're trying to put away the thoughts and the sins of the day. Trying to get our hearts in tune with the things of God. You follow me tonight? Because we know that if we're going to meet with God, we've got to present ourselves presentable to God spiritually. Some of those songs right there, all those songs have a message to consider. And these things that we do in the service are not just done just to be done, just that we got some time to fill, let's just do this. They're there for a reason, on purpose, so that you can be ready to meet God. I want you to notice in Joshua chapter 24, please, verse number 19. Joshua 24 and line number 19. Notice that Joshua later tells the people that you cannot serve the Lord. If Pastor Myers came to you and, boy, you wanted to serve in the choir, and Pastor Myers says, I'm sorry, you're not ready to sing in the choir. Thank you, but you're not ready. How would you feel about that? Oh, I came. What's wrong with my bikini? No, I know you're not going to do that. Joshua 24 says in verse 19, Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a what? Thank you, this side. He is a what? Holy God. Over on this side, he is a what? Holy God. What does holy mean? Separate from sin, free from defilement. He is not only a holy God, but what else is he? He's a what? He's a jealous God. He's a jealous God. You ever felt jealous as a spouse before? Maybe you see wife, you see your husband, maybe talking with somebody, and you kind of, something boils up inside of you, and you check your fingernails, and you go, P&G, that's what they say. You know, they scratch their eyeballs out. Don't talk to my husband. Instead of scratching his eyeballs out, don't talk to her. You know, they always blame the woman over there. But you know, there's jealousy that takes place because you, wife, don't want your husband giving his heart to anybody else. Am I right there? Man, this is really shallow there. Are we polygamous or monogamous? What are we over here? I mean, in Papua New Guinea, we're still dealing with this, but I'm a little nervous over here. You're jealous for your wife, I can imagine. You want her to just have eyes for you, heart for you. Are we okay? Okay. You know what? God wants only your attention. He wants your attention just on him. He doesn't want your attention on anything else, anybody else. He wants your attention. You know what he says? You cannot serve the Lord. Why? He's a holy God. But secondly, he's a jealous God. He doesn't want you to play both sides. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins, for ye forsake. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, he had done you good. The people said unto Joshua, No, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, your witnesses against yourselves, that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Yes, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, therefore, okay, you made that decision. Now you need to present yourself presentable spiritually here. Put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you. Those things that you've got, get rid of those things. We don't want anything inside here. God is not going to share his glory with another. He says, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. I mean, you lean to him. Incline your heart. You just give yourself to him. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, verse 25, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. The answer why ye cannot serve the Lord, because he's a jealous God. You know, we share so many things. We give our heart to this and we give our heart to that, but God says, no, I'm not going to play that game. I'm not going to play that game. If you want to meet with me, we're going to do this singly. We're not going to play that game of polygamy. No, we're not going to do that. You know, Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, no man can serve what? Two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You know, most of us in here, most of you in here are working a job. And you say, man, I've got to work that job. And that's right, you've got to work that job. But why do you work that job? You work that job so you can take care of your family. You work that job so that you can give an offering. You work that job so you can do these type of things. But you know, some people, they work that job for themselves. I want to challenge you, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I tried to preach in chapel this week a message that God really dealt with my heart about, and this was the title, What's the Point? So all these things, you know, we say no to this, we say no to that, and we do this, and we suffer this, we go through this trouble. What's the point? The point is the glory of God. God wants the glory in our lives. He wants to meet with you. He wants to meet with me, but he's not gonna play two sides. I mean, in P&G, we're still dealing with this polygamy stuff. You know, I've met men with 2, 3, 4 wives, and I don't know how it works. I don't know how that works out. You know, most of them, they've got separate houses for their other wives there. Every once in a while, two wives will live in one house. It's amazing how they fought it out, so I forget it. This is not going to change, so just live with it. But, you know, I've never met a house where there was one woman and two men. I've never seen it that way. One wife, two husbands. I've never seen it. Have you heard of that anywhere in the world? Thailand, do they do that? Cambodia, do they do that? No, it's never that way. Because man is not going to share his wife with another man. God will never share you with another. If you want to be divided like that, if you want God and you want the world at the same time, God's just going to say, okay, you can have the world. I'm not going to play that game. Are we okay? You follow where I'm going with this? We're not going to do that. You know, many people are missing out on the presence of God. They're missing out on meeting God. They're missing out on relationship with God because we're trying to play two sides. And God says, you can play two sides, but I'm not going to play with you. You can play all by yourself. You can pretend and you can think that you're enjoying the presence of God. You can think that you're having, you can think that you're right with God. You can think that you got the power of God, but no. You just go ahead and do that by yourself. I'm not going to participate in this. He says, you cannot serve the Lord because no man can serve two masters. He's either going to hate the one and love the other. It's just not going to happen. Moses now tells the people back in Exodus chapter 19, line number 14, Moses went down from the mount. Follow me there, please. Exodus chapter 19, Line number 14, Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people. Sanctified, what's that mean? He separated the people. He taught the people what it means to come near to God. He taught the people that God's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He's not going to share you with anybody else. You either give your whole heart to him or don't give yourself to him at all. You make a decision here. He sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. They did something physically. They prepared themselves spiritually. And he said unto them, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. You need to really get this thing sorted out. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there was thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp, what did they do? They trembled. This is the moment. God is coming to meet with us. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. Moses, the shepherd, he's been with God. He knows what it is to spend time with God. He's removed his shoes in the presence of God because the place was holy ground, and he's spent time with God. He knows what it's like. And now he's bringing the people out of the camp, out of the camp, out of the camp. They're not remaining where they are. They're leaving where they are, and they're going somewhere else, out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount, verse 18, and Mount Sinai was all together on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. Have you ever experienced something like that? It doesn't happen every day for me, okay. I'm sad to say it doesn't happen even frequently. But every once in a while, it gets like that. But that doesn't happen on accident. That happens because you prepared to meet God. And I think every one of God's children need to be ready to meet God. Sister Karen, is that right? Are you ready to meet God? I'll see if I can find some more names. Brother Joseph, you ready to meet God? Whew. Sanctify the people. This is something else, folks. Doesn't happen every day. Oh, but if it could or would. Last scripture I'll read. Exodus 20, verse 1, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. First commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Oh, that God's people would sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and be ready to meet God. Let's have a word of prayer tonight, Pastor. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I don't know how we'd ever get to know who you are without your word. Thank you, God, for giving us the ability to meet with you. Bless your people, Lord, as we consider this thought. In Jesus' name.